Good morning. My name is Chris Rice. I am the grandson of Larry Rice, who is the founder and CEO of New Life Evangelistic Center. Can we get the presentation pulled up? I want to thank you so much for the honor of coming and speaking with you about the work of New Life Evangelistic Center, and in particular, what we are looking to do in Ukraine. And so we see the Great Commission up there. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you, the end of the age." And that is the Great Commission. Ultimately, as disciples, we look to worship and praise God. And as New Life, as an organization, we've been working here in the United States and around the world for 50 years. We're looking at what we can do in Ukraine. Can we go to the next slide? So I want to share a little bit about New Life's history. You actually have one of its dedicated workers amongst you. Dulcie Guidi, or Dulcie Jones, is the director of our development. And so after this, if you have any other questions, she can share you on all the details of New Life. But I'm going to give a very brief history because it is 50 years old. And so Larry and my grandmother started this in 1972 out of I think it was a 15 or 20-foot trailer. And my grandfather's heart has been to serve homeless men and women in St. Louis and throughout Missouri. And so our main mission is to preach the gospel and to build relationships and disciples out of people who are experiencing brokenness and desperation in their lives. Homelessness is a situation, but often, especially in our society, we get to this point where that situation defines you. And so breaking down the stigmas that we might have of individuals experiencing homelessness and building that bridge between people in the pews and people on the streets, that's one of the foundational things that New Life does. And so we do that in a variety of different ways. We have a TV station, Channel 24.2, and we have radio stations. And in the 80s, we saw the door open for us to do ministry in India. And so we actually have built an orphanage there in a school, and we're serving children and orphans and widows and people experiencing homelessness in India. We've also helped in Haiti and Africa. And so New Life truly has spread further than the United States. There is precedence for us seeking God's will in other countries and having multiple churches from various denominations partner alongside us and do much for the name of Jesus in that way. And so in 2017, the city of St. Louis closed down one of its main buildings at 1411 Locust. And I'm not sure if you're aware of the whole history there, but there's great spiritual warfare that is happening in downtown St. Louis. There's been a number of gentrification that's happened over the last past decade, but in 2014, 2015, there were neighbors of New Life who systematically targeted services that are helping homeless individuals. And in 2017, they finally got New Life, and they removed our occupancy permit. When we first opened up 1411 Locust, they didn't have permits for shelters. So we got the next best thing, which was a hotel permit, right? That's all they had in the mid-70s. And so that's how New Life was operating, was as a hotel. And on a technicality, they got New Life shut down in that our building was not up to code for a hotel, right? So that was a little bit of the complex history of our building at 1411 Locust. And we were doing so much out of that building. We continue to use it on a smaller scale. And in the same way that the church is not a building, New Life was not wrapped up only in a building. And we have been serving people throughout mid-Missouri, mid-America since 2017. It hasn't shut down. So I want to share a little bit of that. We continue to do street outreach. We go out every single day. Once 1411 Locust was closed, we began opening safe houses throughout throughout the counties of New Life. And so we help many women and men in those safe houses. We've helped families, women who are fleeing from domestic violence. And so New Life is still up and strong, and we're doing a lot. We have this leadership training program, and that program allows us to disciple and relationally approach this very complex issue. That is to say that homelessness, there's so many different reasons that somebody might find themselves in that situation. And we can't presume that we have an equation that I can just plug you into and fix all your problems, right? Amen? Okay? It's very complex to help individuals who are battling a variety of different issues. So is there addiction that we have to address? Yes. Is there mental illness that we have to address? Yes. Are there complex relational conflicts that we have to address? Yes. All of that and above and more. Disabilities. There's so many different things that we have to address, and we can only do that if there's a relational approach, if we're walking alongside you long term. And so Dulce and I and other members of New Life have been doing this for 50 years, and there is a rhyme and a reason for why I'm pointing out part of that work that we do. Can we go to the next slide? Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, right? So I've drawn the framework for our work at New Life here in St. Louis and abroad. My name is Chris. My wife and Abby are here with me as well. And I met Irene Sardachuk. That's her last name. She is Ukrainian, 100% Ukrainian. And we met in Custer State Park, South Dakota. And if that's not the most random place to meet, then I don't know where it is. But it was really God working at both of our lives. I was working with a ministry called A Christian Ministry in the National Parks. I was in school in 2016, and basically this ministry sends seminary students and Christian college students to national parks all over the United States, and they have this really wonderful relationship with secular national parks, and they allow these teams to go in and permeate these parks with the Gospels and share the good news. They're guaranteed a full-time job. And Irene and I were both living in the dorms together and working the same job in a gift shop right off the lake. And so Irene would attend our services, and we spent a lot of time together. And I was just like, well, God's doing something here. So we started dating in that summer, and 2.5 years of long-distance relationship, and by long-distance, I mean 8 hours time difference. She was in Ukraine, and I was back at school. And so that's how we met. We got married in 2019, and I began to work right after our honeymoon. I began to work with New Life. So I've been working full-time with New Life for about 3.5 years. And so our little baby girl, Abby, was born in 2019. I don't normally preach in front of large groups, so she's like, what's Daddy doing up there? And I've visited Ukraine 3 times. I've had the opportunity to travel around Ukraine before there was a war and see the wonderful fruit of this very rich country. And it was phenomenal. It was really great to be able to travel with my wife and to see all of the culture of Ukraine. So I know the Ukrainian culture fairly well as an American can, having a Ukrainian wife, and I know a little bit of the language. Now, don't test me on that, but I know a little bit of the language. So that's about myself and about the ministry that I work for. And now if you have the Word of God, I'd like you to open up to Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. On February 24th, a tragedy struck Ukraine, the likes of which it had not known, and really the world had not known since World War II. The conflict is on a scale, it impacts us even over here in the United States on a scale of which we haven't seen since World War II. And that's just a fact. Our gas prices are higher. It's hitting your wallet as it's hitting my wallet. And part of the reason is because Russia is such an exporter of oil and gas that it does hit our supply. And other countries besides the U.S. are getting hit even harder because Ukraine exported 25% of wheat. Did you know that? It was a huge exporter of wheat. And we don't know this until there's a war going on in that country, but my wife, my brother-in-law, good friends of mine who are Russian and Ukrainian, they never thought that war was going to take place. They never thought Russia would attack. They never even guessed the level of aggression that this country would perform on Ukraine. And we are reading about it in the news. We're seeing pictures, the horrible things that are occurring on this sovereign, democratic, and independent country of Ukraine. And so this war shook Ukraine to its core, and people experienced a grief and a lament, the likes of which is very difficult for us here in the United States to place ourselves in. And I think it was divine providence that we sang that last song today, because truly, if our solid rock is not Christ, these are the kind of instances in our lives that would shake us. And so this war has impacted my family on a very personal level. And when it first happened, I was angry. I was frustrated. I felt so despondent, like I want to be there and help. And in times like that, you know, as a male, your pride and your bravado just reaches extreme heights. And I'm like, I'm going to hop on a plane and I'm going to go fight. That's unwise for a number of different reasons, right? And that's not the best way to help Ukraine. But I'm expressing the kind of processing that one goes through when your family is in a direct war zone. There were reports that Belarus would attack, and the region that my family lives in is bordered with Belarus. And so there was fear, anger, and frustration, the likes of which I have not felt in a long time. And that's why this Word of God is so important, right? Because guess what? Those same emotions, those same feelings are expressed here. And we can relate to David, who expressed this lament and this grief. And it consoles us, and it directs our attention to where it should. And so today, as we read these verses, chapter 55, he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace." Can you hear the grief? Can you hear the anguish? Can you hear the anger that David is expressing? Some scribes believe that he wrote this after his own son betrayed him, after his own son forced him to flee from his city. And the complex thing about this conflict in between Ukraine and Russia, and we'll see a map here later in the presentation, the complexity is Russia and Ukraine have a very synonymous history, right? Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. Often their culture melds and mixes in a variety of different ways, in language and in culture. Now, where Irene and my in-laws live, they live in the northwestern part of Ukraine. And since 91, since Ukraine became an independent country, there's been a large shift. They've been trying to define themselves as a culture apart from Russia. But in the east, where it borders with Russia, their cultures are very synonymous. They speak mostly Russian in the east. And so can you imagine how they felt when their brothers, when their sisters, and we know that rape is being used as a weapon. We know that possessions are being stolen. We know that lives are being lost, that a quarter of the entire population of Ukraine is forced to flee their homes by bombs and air raids from their own brothers, from their own sisters. Can you imagine the anguish, the frustration, the confusion, the despondency that this people is experiencing right now as they flee their homes? They don't know if they can return. They don't know if they're ever going to see their family again. And this is all from a country that claims that it's that they're brothers. The lies that are being spoken out within Russia, the propaganda, is unbelievable. Unbelievable. We see it and laugh. But in Russia, truth is truly not known. And the church is defending the actions of one wicked man, Putin. And so David's words apply to the hearts of Ukrainians. And David's words should apply to our hearts as we consider this nation, as we consider the horrible things that are taking place. And we feel the impact, but it's hard for us to relate unless we had the Word of God, which has the words of life even to Ukrainians now, right? In verse 22. David gets to this place where he says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But David is not being coy here. He's not being naive. There's a request here. And on verse 23, he says, but you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Ukrainians are grieving. They're in anguish. They're in pain, the likes of which it's very difficult for us to understand. I don't know the last time that the United States experienced another country invading in their homeland. The last time I can think is 1812. There might be a time since then, right? But very often our wars are fought on other land, on other countries. In World War II, we did not experience Germans invading the United States. We're very blessed for that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's hard for us to understand what it's like to be invaded. And being invaded is bad enough, right? But when it's your brothers and sisters, when it's people that you considered to be part of you, right? It's unfathomable for us. Some people are like, well, you know, what if Canada or Mexico did it? It's still not quite the same, right? Maybe Canada, but Mexico is a little different in our culture, right? America is a melting pot, but it's very hard for us to relate, right? So here are some of the critical needs of Ukraine. Over 10 million people have been displaced in Ukraine. That's a quarter of the population, as I said. Over 6 million people now have fled. And they're fleeing, and now as the conflict shifts to the east, some are trying to come back into the country. But to be a refugee, to be an internally displaced refugee, you have very unique needs. These numbers are old now. It's higher. Over 217 children have died. These are the official records. We believe that number is probably 3, 4, 5 times higher. One of the techniques that Russians are using in this war is to place thousands of mines in occupied territory. And when they leave, those mines are still wreaking devastation on people who are trying to come back to their homes. Can you imagine putting a landmine in a playground? That's the kind of thing that Russians are doing. And so even as Kyiv and Bucha and Irpin are being unoccupied, right, they're being reoccupied by Ukrainians, the work of unburying all of those mines takes quite some time. So there's a massive amount of infrastructure damage. There's damage being done to hospitals. There's damages being done to schools. Even if Russia were to leave Ukraine today and all conflict end, it's going to take between 5 and 10 years to rebuild this country. And billions of dollars. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in Ukraine. And we have so much here in the United States to offer Ukraine. The United States has sent many missionaries to Ukraine, and the Baptist Church is one of the most predominant denominations there in Ukraine. That being said, we've got a lot of work to do in Ukraine. If we could go to the next slide. So this is a map of where me and my family on June 11th through June 29th are hoping to travel. So you can't fly into Ukraine. There are no airports that are operating right now. And so we will fly into Warsaw, Poland. And we will have to take a bus from Warsaw, and we'll actually go straight from Warsaw to Lutsk, which is one of the circled cities up there. My in-laws live about 30 minutes away from Lutsk, and so we will stay with them. There are two local churches there that we'll talk about a little later that we're hoping to bless and work alongside and minister with them to refugees who are passing through Lutsk. But you can see Lutsk is northwest. If you look at this line, this is where most of the conflict is taking place right now. That being said, when you're traveling to an active war zone, safety is a relative term. Okay, last week, Lviv over here, which is one of the cities we hope to visit and help out in, was bombed with 10 rockets. So I mean, safety is relative. And the churches, the pastors that I've talked with, they are not naive to think that just because most of the conflict is happening in the east, they are safe, right? When air sirens go off, everyone takes shelter. So we hope to spend about a week at Lutsk, 4 or 5 days in Lviv, which is the third largest city in Ukraine and where many, many refugees are. And then we'll go back to Lutsk and pick up my daughter, spend some time with family, and then take a bus back up to Warsaw. So please, at the very least, pray for me and my family. Traveling internationally, if you've ever done it, it's fun, right? There are lots of adventures going on. But when you are going into an active war zone, that complicates traveling a little bit. by all accounts, when we get to the border, we're probably in for between a 4 and 6 hour long wait just to get through customs. So my daughter is 2, so pray for me and Irene that we have patience and love and safety to protect her. So this is the goal that New Life has. We want to lay the groundwork for long-term relations with 3 local Baptist churches in Ukraine. And we want to We want to be developing long-term relationships for the potential for us to do work long-term, long-term missions, building either an orphanage or a resource center or a shelter or something like we have in India. So having open ears and humbly listening to the needs, the long-term needs that Ukrainians are going to have, that's a big part of what we hope to do. I'm not going to presume to know what a country needs in this situation because their needs change. And so seeking God's will, seeking the Holy Spirit and the vision that we might have at New Life for long-term missions. We're going to be gathering data, speaking with refugee families, helping serve them food, praying with them, sharing the gospel with them. We're going to be doing that and spiritually supporting these refugees. And so we are asking different churches for financial support. Some of this breakdown is irrelevant. So I'm going to share, we are bringing $5,000, and we hope to bless each of those local churches with $1,000. When you're in a war zone, the economy gets impacted. Can you imagine? So inflation is going up in Ukraine quite rapidly right now. One way to think of that is that our benefit, that we will be able to benefit them even more, the dollar will go further in Ukraine. But the hryvnia, which is the denomination of money there, is losing value. And so when I've asked these churches, what is it that you need? Food and gas. Food and gas. They said it takes 5 hours to fill up a five-gallon, you get five-gallon rationed-out gas. And these churches have vans. They have to transport. They're doing a lot of different kinds of work. And so helping them get gas and food, that's a big way that we can support these local churches. And so we have raised some of that money, but we are still looking for the resources of God to bless the people of God in Ukraine. And so that's kind of the cost of our trip. Can you go to the next slide? So here are a couple of the partners that we're really looking at helping. There's Femium Church. Femium is flower, right, in Ukrainian? Okay, that's what my brother-in-law said. I'm taking it. Femium is the name of one church, and then Golgotha is another name of a local church. And I've connected with both of those pastors, and I'm looking forward to being in fellowship with them in June and serving with them. And they are helping refugees by actually driving to the east and transporting people who do not have the funds to escape those war zones. And so they're placing themselves in danger by pulling refugees out. They have also got camps where they feed hundreds of people a day. And they're providing food and support. And now those churches are looking at long-term, how do we relationally help these refugees get reestablished into life, finding them jobs, finding them housing that's more permanent than these camps. So these churches are doing wonderful things, and we want to go and we want to help them serve. And as I said, I know a small amount of the language, so my brother-in-law and my wife are going to be traveling with me and helping in translation and in ministering with those churches. So another thing that New Life is looking to do is here in the States, we are looking at what does it take to sponsor a family, to sponsor people who are trying to flee from Ukraine and come to the United States, and long-term build relationships with them and help them here in the States. And so we have two homes right now, and the housing market is pretty crazy here in the United States right now, but our vision is to purchase older homes, rehab them, and then provide free housing initially for these refugees who are coming and they want to establish life here. And so we would provide 6 months of free housing. And if that family liked the house that they were living in, then we would actually offer for them to get on a payment plan and pay off the repairs that we would have made for the house, and then hand them over the title when that's paid off. Can you imagine going from a war-torn country to owning your own home in the United States? That would be an amazing, amazing feat. And so that is what we're looking for, and we want to help them with that immigration process. And so New Life is looking at what it takes to sponsor a family, and churches like yours could help sponsor this family and pay for the monthly upkeep, and then build the relationship with that family, and be the church, simply. Be the hands and feet of Christ for this family as they flee from Ukraine. And so that's another big part. And our vision, our goal is to have 100 homes. And that seems amazing. I would ask that you please pray that vision would come to life. And as I said, we have two right now. One is in repair, and that's the picture here that you see. We're fixing up the home there. That home is in Breckenridge, so not too far away. It's pretty close to our administrative services. And this house would be great for a single mother with a couple of children. It's a one-bedroom, two-bath house. And so we're doing some repairs there. We have different work days that take place. Actually, yesterday we were supposed to be working on the house. We got rained out. But there will be opportunities to serve here in the United States Ukrainian refugees through the work of New Life Evangelistic Center. And Dulce is the director of our development, and she has her hands and her feet just immersed in the work here at New Life. And so if you have further questions regarding the process and how to get involved, please ask her. That is the goal and the scope of the work that we're trying to do at New Life Evangelistic Center. And so I want to go back briefly to Psalm 55, and I want to read that verse again. David is struggling with grief and anguish and lament, the likes of which it's hard for us to place our minds and our hearts into. But he gets to this point where he says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Our righteousness is imputed on us through the work, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. This promise is for you and it's for me, that if we cast our burden, that hopelessness, on the Lord, that he will sustain us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts and in our minds as we seek to respond to the needs in Ukraine. Lord, they are so great. They are greater than we can ever begin to even really imagine, Lord, but place us in that spot, Lord, where we feel the anguish. We weep with those who weep. And Lord, if there is some rejoicing going on in the work, that we are able to rejoice with those who rejoice. We feel what our brothers and sisters are experiencing in Ukraine. Lord, Holy Spirit, give us hope. Hope that you are moving. Father, you are sovereign. You are in control. You are at work, even in this anguish, this despondency, this hopelessness. God, move in your church in the United States to respond to the needs of Ukraine, to respond with open hands and open hearts and open ears and open minds, to receive the burden of our brothers and sisters a little bit, to walk alongside them, Lord, to love them, Lord, to be the hands and feet of Christ as we seek to fill the needs, Lord. Move your church. Move us to a place of action. Move us to a place of righteous anger to battle with truth the lies of the wicked, to battle with love the hurt and the pain. Holy Spirit, move your church. Lord, we call out with gratitude and thanksgiving for the blessings that you have given us. We call out with gratitude and thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our anchor, who is that solid rock with which we can build the church. Lord, you know that in anguish and hopelessness, there is fertile ground for the gospel. Please be with me and my family as we seek to love your people well. Protect us, Lord. I lift up Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, Lord, as they seek to respond to your word, as they seek to respond to the needs of their community around them. Lord, bless them richly. I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that they have extended to me and my family. And Lord, I praise you. I praise you that you are our sustenance. You hold us, God. May you be glorified in Ukraine. May you be worshiped. May you be praised. May we make much of the name of Jesus in a war zone. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for allowing me to share some of the work that New Life is seeking to do.